The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he had sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out more laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money sack, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. In whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, as I've been indicated, my name is Bishop Gabriel Kumoji, Bishop of Keta Akachi in Ghana. So I'm grateful to the Mission Office at the Chancery for giving me this opportunity to speak to you about my mission in Ghana and the work of priests and religious in Ghana. But before we go into the mission in Ghana, I would like us to reflect on a few points of the gospel reading today. In our gospel reading, Jesus addressed the 72 and said, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest." This statement of the gospel is often used, or we often use it, when we are preaching for vocation to the priesthood, to the religious life, and to the family life. But today we see it being applied for evangelization. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. And he asks us to pray so that the master will send more laborers to the field. This is being addressed to all of us. As people baptized, we are commissioned to proclaim the word of God, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And so the evangelization mission of the church is not only for the priests, it's not only for religious, it's not only for catechists, deacons, but it is for all of us. So today I would like us to see it as a great mission which we are being called for, called to proclaim the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "Wherever you go, bring peace to them. If people are there disposed for the peace, it will settle on them. But if they are not disposed, it comes back to you." And he said also in the sending of the 72 that I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, which gives us also that the terrain of mission will not be easy, but we must focus on the mission which God has given us. And it is very interesting to see also that in our gospel reading today, he gave us also conditions to execute the mission. The first one is, he said, "Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals." So don't be distracted by material things. And then in other gospels, he said, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. So our mission is so vital that the Lord wants us to focus on it, not to carry money bag, no sack, no sandals. Then he also told us in the gospel reading, on your way, don't greet anybody. And I found that to be very hard, isn't it? That you will be going on the mission and you see people, you will not greet, pass by them. For us in Africa, that is impolite. You see a person and you will not greet the person, you pass by. In our place in Ghana, in some of our cultures, we even have greetings for every activity. When the person is coming from work, we have a greeting to greet him, your work, you know, connected with the work. If a person is in the house, we have a greeting. When a person is working, we have a different greeting. And so to pass by, it is very rude not to greet, impolite. Even sometimes they will say, you are too proud. You are arrogant. That's why you will not greet people. And so it is also part of our relational culture is to greet everyone, whether you know the person or not. And so Jesus telling us in the gospel reading today, no greeting on the way, becomes a bit shocking. But when again we go to the African culture, you will see that some of our greetings are pretty long. So if some of our greetings can be maybe about 5 minutes to 10 minutes. When you see the person, they say, how are you? Say, I am fine. How is your wife? She is fine. How is your children? Say, they are fine. How is your household? They are fine. And how is everything? Fine. Then when you finish, the person also repeats the same to you. So you can imagine if you greet about 10 people, or even, let's say, 15 people, it will be noon before you start the mission, the real mission. And so he said, don't greet anybody. It is not to be impolite, but he is asking us to focus on the mission of evangelization, the mission to bring the kingdom of God to the people. That is the priority. And so everything takes a secondary position so that you can proclaim the message directly to the people. And so he wants us to focus. And all of us as Christians are called to this mission. Then the third thing I see also in the mission is not to focus on yourself. He says, when you go, whatever they set before you, you eat it. Not to choose, not to pick and choose and say, I like Italian, I like Japanese food or Mexican food. No. Focus on the mission and whatever the people have and they share with you, you take it. And this is a real mission to show the importance that we who carry the message should not be the people people should look at, but the Lord himself who is the agent of the mission. And that's why I like John the Baptist when he told his people, he must increase, but I must decrease. It is a very beautiful statement which shows the mission of the evangelizer. Today, we are also continuing the mission which we receive from the missionaries who came to our country. Some of them came from the U.S., the Divine Word Missionaries, SVDs, and then also the Society of African Mission, SMAs. They worked evangelized in our area. And they established many stations which continued when they left, or some of them are still there, who we continue with these. In my diocese, Keta Akachi, it's two towns. So that means I have two cathedrals. Rear Cathedral and Co-Cathedral. That was a former cathedral. And now it's no more the cathedral, but Co-Cathedral. So I have to service the two places concurrently and then also take good care of all of them. So I have two cathedrals. And we have 29 stations, parishes, I would say, parishes. And every parish has its own stations attached to them. And this we call in our country outstations. But in some of you, you will call them as missions. Where there are churches, there is a church Christian community, Catholic community, but there is no resident priest. And so the parish have, some of them have 20, some of them have 15, some of them have 10, and others. So you have these stations under you, and you plan to visit them regularly in order to celebrate the sacraments there. In the absence of the priest who cannot visit all of them on a Sunday, there are lay people who conduct services in these stations, whom we call the catechists. They also catechize the people, prepare them for the sacraments. And so every time within the month or within the week when the priest goes there, it is a great joy for the village to receive the sacraments. And they are also helping the people who wants to be baptized and then bring them to the main parish to integrate them and then have the baptism. So it is a very tedious job for the priests. And then they also have to travel far and wide in order to reach these stations. Some of them will go on motorbikes, and in my place we have ponds, we have rivers, and so some of them even have to go on canoes in order to reach these places. And these places, the people there are mainly subsistence farmers, so they are not able to contribute to support the church. The diocese is supposed to do that. And we try as much as possible to do it so that nobody will complain and say, because I have no money, I cannot visit the stations. Or because these people are not contributing, we cannot evangelize, proclaim the kingdom of God to them. And so that's why we need your support. We need your help to continue this evangelizing mission of the church. But I'm here particularly for three institutions which I would like you to consider in supporting, and your contribution also go to that. The first one is St. Teresa's Institute, which is an institute for physically challenged people. Some of them suffered from polio, some of them with different situations, and they are physically challenged. And many times in a society of poverty, the physically challenged is left behind. They are not cared for. You don't bother to spend money to let them go to school. This institution is to bring them to this institute and support them. We teach them basic, they go from basic education to senior high, and then also we teach them trade. So some of them learn leather work, shoemaking, some of them learn printing, some of them learn catering, and then some of them also learn fashion and designing. And so that when they go out, they will be good supporting themselves, caring for themselves, and then be on their own. They don't depend on anybody or help other people also to achieve their goals. The second institute is Good Samaritan Home, which is a home also for mentally challenged children. And some of them were born with that mental challenge, Down syndrome and others. And for us, some of these are considered in our cultures as spirit children. So sometimes they leave them aside, ignore them. And when they isolate them and ignore them, that means some of them will starve to death. Some of them are, in some cultures, are even killed, because to keep the child, they said, all your children will come like that. And so they try to eliminate them. But the church's message of the kingdom, proclaiming the kingdom to the people, that these are children of God, whom we must also care for. We cannot leave them behind. God has given them to us, and we must take care of them. And so we have this institute where they bring them, and they are cared for, supported, and then they are taught to even be independent. Some of them cannot take care of themselves, but with this institution run by a religious congregation, and then they are able to come up in these lines. Thirdly, we have also a girls' institute, St. Agnes Institute. You know, in our society, again, in a situation of poverty, maybe you can't send all the children to school. And in our places too, they have many children. Some of them, you can have 8, 10, 12 children. And so if you cannot pay for all of them to go to school, you select. And the first ones you drop are the girls. We don't send them to school. Some said, because, oh, what would it benefit the family to send a girl to school? Others who also said, oh, they are more helpful in the home. They learn how to cook, they are able to help their parents, they are able to work around the house better. If you keep a boy in the house, you will not find him. He's always running out to friends, so the girls are more handy. But this is hurting the future of the girls. And so the church has taken it also as an option to have this institute, so girls who are dropped out from schools, girls who maybe have not even been allowed to go to school, prevented to go to school, girls who didn't get a chance to go to school, are brought to this institute where we try to give them the basic educational skills. And then, apart from that, we also give them dressmaking, fashion, and design. They also learn catering. They also learn other things like computer science and all that, so that they can be assertive, they can be on their own, they can take care of themselves and build a very worthy family. And these are three institutions which I need your support strongly. Because we want to communicate that if the harvest is abundant and the laborers are few, we consider all these people as part of it. So the church is not ignoring anybody at all. We bring them in. Because one time I got a visitor from the US and came and asked me, he wanted to establish a home for these handicaps and then like Down syndrome. And he said, you have many in the society? I say, to tell you the truth, I don't see them. We don't see them in public. Parents are feeling shy to bring them out. In public gathering, in church, we don't see them. But I cannot say that they are not there. And so your question provokes us to think about it. Look for them. So when we establish the clinic, this home, we see many coming out. Where were they before? What are happening to those who are not able to come? This is the question we ask. We ask your support that this house will continue to support the lives and the people who are considered underprivileged people and left behind by the society. And so you will see in your pews these envelopes. You can put in whatever donation you want to give. Put it in the collection basket. It goes to the parish, and the parish will send it to the diocese, and eventually it will reach us in Ghana. But if you are not ready today, you can take the envelope home and then put anything in it and bring it to the parish office, and they will forward it to the diocese, and eventually it comes to us. And so I would like to thank you. Thank you sincerely for your generosity, not only for Ghana. I've seen the pictures of your mission in other parts of Africa and other services you are rendering to people on the street, like the soup kitchen, which you have been providing. Thank you very much, and may God bless you abundantly for your generosity and your prayers. Thank you.